I don't know what to say to transition. happy Thanksgiving, I guess. Hopefully you're getting some turkey with some people. If not, come and join me tonight with our Sunday evening congregation as we have a turkey dinner here. And you're certainly welcome to join us if you have nowhere to go this weekend for Thanksgiving. And as Greg said, our church lunch, first one, is next Sunday from pre-COVID. He only gave you part of the menu. I'll give you the rest. And waffle bar, the spinach and cheese frittata, seasoned hash browns, ham, breakfast sausage, assorted muffins and pastries, fruit plate, etc. Doesn't that sound good? Now, we want to kind of know how many are coming, because first church lunch in 2.5 years, so we're guessing a little bit. So I need to tell Michelle a number. So how many think you're going to be staying next Sunday for the church lunch? Okay. All right. Okay. I can usually guess crowd sizes kind of thing. Okay. I'm going to tell her 125. So that's what we're going to looking forward to that. Okay. Non-anxious presence. So many of us are functioning with a low-grade fatigue. We're tired. We're exhausted, but we just keep functioning. There's responsibilities. We've got our to-do list, which never ends. So we take another sip from our caffeinated beverage, and we just soldier on. But how's that working for us? In one survey in this last year, 85% of North Americans said they were so overwhelmed at some point that they couldn't function. 9 out of 10 of us were paralyzed into inactivity because of being overwhelmed. And so we come to a long weekend like this, and we pause, and we try and take a deep breath, but then we know we're going to be back into the deep end come Tuesday. And I wonder, friends, I wonder if there's a better way. We're longing for rest, but is it a deeper rest that is at the core of our longing? Not the rest that comes from a long weekend, as good as that is. Not the rest that comes from a vacation, as good as that is. Because let's face it, how many of us have taken a holiday and we've come back from the holiday and we find we need a holiday to recover from the holiday we just took? How many know what I'm talking about? You have done that. Yes, so many of us have. We need something for our souls. Soul. We all have one. Everybody say that word soul with me. Soul. We often don't think about our souls. Some people even dismiss the idea of our bodies having souls. I like what Canadian author Douglas Coupland says, "I don't deserve a soul, yet I still have one. I know because it sometimes hurts." Yeah, we all have souls. They hurt. Someone has compared our soul to being like the king on a chessboard. The king is very limited in terms of the distance it can move, one space at a time. Contrast that with the rook or the bishop who can move across the board, or the all-powerful queen who can move in any direction. The king seems weak, and yet, in chess, if you lose your king, you lose the game. In the game of life, you lose your soul, you lose. In our stress and busyness and anxiety, we long for the easy life. If only I'd win the lottery. If only I'd find the dream job. If only the kids would move out. If only my parents would get off my case. If only I'd go on a holiday, then I'd be at rest. We long for the easy life, but it's a futile longing because Jesus never promised an easy life. Don't we know that? But he did, however, use the word easy. He used it once. Easy wasn't a word that Jesus regularly used in his teaching, but he does in our text today. And he promises an easy yoke. For Jesus, the easy life isn't an option, but the easy yoke is. And Jesus connects the easy yoke with the word soul. And so, friends, if your soul is hurting today, you've come to the right worship gathering. If you're fed up with your current life, God has some good news for you today. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, God wants to meet with you today. If you have an unreasonably demanding boss, God has a word for you. If you're a month into school now and you're having panic attacks from the stress level, God wants to meet with you today. If you've got a family gathering this weekend and you're nervous about some of the family dynamics, God can meet you in your anxiety. I'm not going to lie and promise you an easy life, because Jesus never did. But he does promise you an easy yoke. So let's take a look at our scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 11, as I read verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those whom the Son chooses to reveal himself. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, I just thank you for your words of scripture. And as we look at our world, we see so much stress, so much conflict, so much war and pain. And we pray you, as the Prince of Peace, would bring your peace into our world. I think of Zaporozhye in Ukraine, where we have partners in ministry that we support, and we pray for peace there in that world, part of the world. We think of what's happening in Iran. Oh, Jesus, may your rule and your reign come there. And for ourselves, you know our circumstances, our families, our lives. And so we'd ask that you would come and speak to each of us. We open ourselves up to you. In your name, amen. All right, three things I see in this passage this morning. The first one is the prerequisite to the easy yoke, which is childlike humility. Jesus starts off by using that word Father five times in three verses there, that he speaks of his personal relationship that he has with the Father, and he has the audacity to claim that the Lord of heaven and earth is his Father, that God has revealed to him as his beloved Son, and that we can know the Father by looking to the Son, that all the attributes of the Father are found in the Son. And he says that, "I praise you, Father, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed them to little children." Now, the Greek there literally means babies, and it refers not so much to physical age as the posture of a small infant, dependency, humility, to have that childlike posture, not to be childish. Sometimes Christians are accused of, checking their brains at the door, that we're anti-intellectual. Well, we're not anti-intellectual. We use our intellect, but we come with the recognition that our intellect is finite, is limited, that we come to God with humility. We can't criticize God and then find him. We can't scrutinize God and then expect to enjoy him and his benefits. And so what do infants, what do little children bring in a relationship? Nothing. They just bring themselves. The prerequisite to the easy yoke is to come like a child, to bring nothing. At your birth, you brought nothing. At your first birthday, you brought nothing. Perhaps there was a gathering. Maybe the relatives came over. Maybe there was cake and there was presents and family, friends were gathered, but you brought nothing. Now, if you turn 100, you will get a congratulatory letter from King Charles, right? I was rooting for Queen Elizabeth to make it to 100, because I thought, well, I'll send her a letter, because she's always sending letters, you know? But 96, she almost made it, you know? Now, if you make it to age 100, you'll get that congratulatory letter from King Charles. I don't know what it'll say, because what do you do? Well, you've achieved not dying. Maybe that's what the letter says. Congrats, you didn't die, you know? Babies bring nothing. Jesus said the Father will reveal himself to those with infant-like humility. That means we give up our pride. As one person has said, with pride as your mother, you can't have God as your father. So do you have that posture today? Because if you're going to receive what Jesus promises here, and it's an incredible promise, it needs to begin with that posture of humility. And then secondly, we've got the invitation to finding rest, which is to come to Jesus. Let me reread those beautiful words from him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice who that invitation is for. Is it just for a select few? No, it's for all. That includes you. You can come to him. And who's the invitation for? Those who are weary and burdened. Does that describe your life? Jesus assumes that we are carrying a heavy load in life. He compares us to animals carrying a heavy pack. In fact, he uses some interesting Greek words. Why don't we stick it up on the screen there, Kelly? He's got the word weary that he uses, which in the Greek is the word kopio. It's a very expressive term. It means the weariness as though one has been beaten. The tiredness that comes from heat, exertion, or work. It was a term that they would use to describe the severe exhaustion a soldier would be feeling after a battle, or the tiredness that a messenger would be feeling after running kilometers to deliver a message. And that second term is the term burden. It's the Greek word for tizo. It means to load, to carry heavy burdens. It's the picture of either a ship being loaded down or an animal carrying a heavy weight. And in Jesus' day, frugal merchants would maximize their profit by loading animals with as much cargo as they could possibly put on that animal without the animal collapsing. Maybe that's how you feel this Thanksgiving weekend. You're heavy laden with responsibilities, worries that are weighing you down. Jesus has an invitation for you. Notice his repeating term. Come to me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke, learn from me, I am gentle. My yoke is easy, etc. The invitation is from Jesus to himself. It's not an invitation to church, it's not an invitation to rules, not an invitation to ritual or regulations or anything like that. It's an invitation to him as a person. And he's got the street cred to fulfill that invitation, what he promises to do. As I read there in those first few verses, that he is the beloved Son of the Father. And furthermore, he describes himself by two interesting words. He says, I am gentle and humble. And that word gentle in the Greek means to be mild or friendly. But it's used as a verb in the Old Testament to refer to someone with stunted, lowly position. It describes the person who has no property, who has to earn their daily bread by going and doing work for the neighbor. The Old Testament prophets would use the term to describe somebody who has no sense of entitlement. And that's the term that Jesus uses to describe himself. I'm gentle. Furthermore, he says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. The Greek there is tapaneos, which pictures someone who's bowing down. The word means to bow down, to be insignificant, to be small. Fascinating. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would bow down, would be low. He would burden himself with your burdens so that you can be set free. What an incredible invitation to come to him. an invitation to rest, an invitation to an easy yoke. Well, what happens when you get an invitation? You've got to respond to it, right? RSVP. You've got to respond to the invitation. So our needed response is to give up control. Jesus clearly promises here in the scripture to take your burdens, to take that which is wearying you. But you have to be willing to surrender it. And that's tough, right? Because we like air, water, food, and control. And we don't want to give up that control. But it's crucial to understanding what Jesus is talking about here. Because you can only have one master, either him or yourself. So let's focus on this word yoke for a couple minutes that Jesus talks about. Everybody say that word yoke. Yoke. Like I said, Jesus never promised an easy life. He did promise an easy yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now that's a fascinating term, you know. We kind of think that Jesus would say, hey, take this couch. Take this mattress, you know. Take this chair. That's equipment for sitting, for sleeping, for resting. But Jesus isn't talking about escape. He's talking about equipment as he says, take my yoke upon you. Now you'll be working, you'll be walking, you'll be moving forward, you'll be carrying life, but I am going to be with you as I yoke myself to you. You may have a difficult life, even a very hard life. You have to carry the cross, but you will find rest and renewal as you yoke yourself with him. It almost seems ironic, doesn't it? Because like I said, we just picture like the mattress providing the rest. But Jesus here is describing a deeper rest, something more than just a long weekend or a vacation. As he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So the first verb is to come to Jesus, the invitation. And then the response, to take my yoke upon you. Now, since none of us grew up in ancient farms, we may need to kind of picture the yoke and, you know, translate it in modern terms, you know, something perhaps like, take your hands off the steering wheel. Move to the passenger seat. Let Jesus drive. Give up control. In the ancient world, a yoke would be a carved wooden beam that would attach to two farm animals, usually a pair of oxen or a pair of mules. It wouldn't be for one animal alone, that's a harness. It was that wooden beam that would attach across the shoulders of a pair of beasts. Two animals yoked together to lighten the load. And then they can work together as a team, as partners. And it makes the load easier for both of them. In Jesus's day, they would often take a older, mature animal and yoke it together with a immature, younger animal. Jesus invites you to come to take his yoke upon you, to partner together with him, to shoulder carry the load. And Jesus says, I will be there with you. Work with me, the God of the universe. Partner with me. Bring those things to me that cause you to be weary and burdened. And so I say, friends, what's weighing you down? Bring that to Jesus. See, this word yoke that Jesus uses here was very common back in the day. Every rabbi would have a yoke. And it was well known that people would follow certain rabbis based upon their yokes. Now, the rabbis in Jesus' day, they had developed these reputations as having very burdensome yokes. Because the rabbis would challenge their apprentices and say, oh, you got to do this, you got to follow this, and you got to interpret the Torah this way, etc., etc. And then Jesus comes along as a rabbi to his apprentices of the day and to the apprentices today, you and I, and says, I have an easy yoke for you, not one that's burdensome, harsh, or legalistic. Jesus never promises an easy life, but he does promise an easy yoke. Psalm 55:22. Why don't we stick that up on the screen, Kelly? Let's read it together. Pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. Friends, God's got broad shoulders. His back is stronger than your back. And so do you need to partner with him because you've been carrying it alone? And that's a daily decision that you and I make, not a one-time thing, but moment by moment, that we reattach when we detach. That this yoke is a symbol of partnership, but it's also a symbol of control. When the oxen are yoked together, then they're under the control of the master who directs and guides them. You, when you are yoked together with Christ, you are under God's control. And that's a good thing. That means you can submit your resignation as the CEO of the universe. It's not up to you and me. God is in control. And some of us today, we just need to let go of the steering wheel. We've got our fingers on there so tight, they're turning blue. We think it's up to us. And God says, let go. Because we've got to ask ourselves, how's that working for us when we seize control? Jesus offers you his yoke, an easy yoke. Not an easy life, but an easy yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Message translates verse 29 as, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Think about that. Nothing heavy or ill-fitting. The Greek phrase that's used there literally means to fit well. In a sense that Jesus knows your size. He knows what you can handle. And he invites you to take that personalized yoke. Because according to Jesus, your soul needs an easy yoke. And Jesus knew all about the animal yokes because he was born the son of a carpenter. And probably from age 15 to age 30, he would have been in the carpentry shop with his dad. And part of what they would have built would have been yokes for animals. Now, there were no mass-produced yokes in Jesus' day. They were all custom-produced, depending on the size of the animal, the type of the animal, that the yoke would be individually crafted so that it's not irritating for the animal. Well-crafted yokes would not chafe the shoulders of the animal. So Jesus says to you and I, come. That's the first verb that he says there, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And then the second verb is take. Take my yoke upon you. And then the third verb is learn. He said, learn from me. See, friends, we've got to learn the Jesus way. And it is a way. It's a lifestyle. See, some of us have reduced it down to having the right theology and the right actions. You know, okay, I got to believe the right thing and then I should do that and not do that. But Jesus' way is much more than that. It's more than just belief and ethics. Like I said, he didn't promise an easy life, but he promised an easy yoke. He didn't say, take the 1-800 holiday number, because he's not promising escape. He's promising equipment, a yoke, an easy yoke, a way of life. There's an expression in the business world that says, every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. So let me ask you, what are your results? And if it's not the results you want, is it time to change the system? The lifestyle. See, if your results are a simmering anxiety that keeps operating in your mind, do you need to change the system? If your results are this high level of stress that you're experiencing, is it time to change the system? If your results are emotional burnout, is it time to change the system? If your results are that you're like 9 out of 10 people, that sometimes you can't function because you're overwhelmed, is it time to change the system? If your results are that you have little or no sense of the presence of God in your life, is it time to change the system? To pop open the hood, look beneath, and see your lifestyle you're living. So on this Thanksgiving weekend, is it time for us to think of our rhythms, to ponder our practices so that we reflect this Jesus who invites us to come, to take the easy yoke and to learn from him. Let me suggest three lifestyle practices in closing. First is to divert daily. To divert daily. That sometime during your day, you need to recharge. You need to take some time, few moments, minutes, whatever it may be for you. That what is life-giving for you? You know? Perhaps you work a real physical job and you just need to sit. You know, you just need to veg. You know, or perhaps you have a mental job and you need to get out and walk or go to the gym or something, get active. But what would it look like for you to encounter Jesus sometime during the day so that you can consciously re-yoke with him? Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches, you are to remain in me. That means a daily decision to find your rest, that deeper rest that he's promising here in our scripture on a daily basis. For me, it's the end of the day. The end of the day where I read a chapter from the Bible. I think about my day. I thank God for certain things from my day. I think about my emotions of the day and how I'm keeping them in check. Things I need to repent of from the day. I think about, how did I see God today during my day? And then I pray some prayers of expectancy on how God is going to show up in my next 24 hours. You know, just a few minutes at the end of my day. That's what I try to do. I'm not always successful, but I try to take Jesus' easy yoke at that moment. What's the temptation for me? To replace the equipment with escape. Because there's so much escapism in our society, right? Netflix is all built around escaping. That I can sometimes choose to escape rather than taking Jesus' yoke. What about you? What would it look like for you in your day to divert daily, to be able to refocus, reattach to Jesus? So, first lifestyle practice, to divert daily. Secondly, to withdraw weekly. In the Bible, this is called the Sabbath. That once a week, your one day looks different than the other 6 days. That one day, you're not doing any paid work and you're not doing any unpaid work. That one day a week, you're setting aside to be different. And that's a challenge with our responsibilities, right? It's a challenge in our society. What does that look like for you? I'm currently rethinking my Sabbath, so I can't talk about my own life. Ask me in a bit, another month or two. To withdraw weekly. And then thirdly, to abandon annually. That's vacation. To get away for a holiday. Me, I like to work hard from September to June and then get away, disconnect during the month of July for a few weeks. What about you? Maybe you don't have the privilege like I have to go away for a few weeks, but like a weekend, like to get away, to disconnect, to abandon annually. Kelly, why don't we put the next slide up on the screen? What does that look like for you? I will blank daily, blank weekly, and blank annually. Think about that for 30 seconds, and then I'm going to ask you to turn to the person beside you and fill in one or two of those and share with them. What does that look like for you? All right, why don't you talk to the person beside you? What does it look like? All right, hopefully that this can get you thinking in terms of your lifestyle, your rhythms, your practices. We are followers of Jesus, and Jesus offers us here this deeper rest to follow him, to engage with him, and to have practices of engagement and disengagement like those three are referring to. Jesus never promised the easy life, but he does promise an easy yoke. And that means, friends, for you and I, we got to keep coming back to Jesus. Keep coming back to this one who issues the invitation to you and I. People who are burdened, people who are carrying heavy loads, come to him. Thank you, Megan, for earlier leading us in a spiritual practice. And why don't we do something similar now? I invite you to stand with me. Where you are, just kind of put your feet as sort of shoulder width apart. And I'm just going to lead you in a spiritual direction now. That this Jesus who we talked about, he has good things in store for you. Why don't you just roll your shoulders a bit there? You know, just get kind of comfortable. And then begin to take some deep breaths. Right from your diaphragm, just kind of breathe in and breathe out. And this God that we've been talking about wants you to encounter him. Just keep breathing. And as you're breathing out and breathing in, why don't we begin by just you breathing out any anger that you're feeling today. Any bitterness or resentment that has fastened itself upon your soul, just breathe that out and breathe in his love. Why don't you breathe out any sadness or grief that you're feeling today and breathe in his joy. Are there parts of your life that are dying? Breathe out that which is dying and inhale his life in your soul. Let go of that which is killing you and come to the one who promises you life. Let go, breathe out that tension that you're experiencing and breathe in his gentleness. Breathe out the anxiety that you're carrying. It's weighing you down and breathe in his peace. All the things that are distracting you from God, all the things that are covering up his presence, just breathe that out and inhale his presence in your life right now. He's here. He has you watching, he has you here in this building. Inhale his presence. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. To the weary people that we are, you know the state of our souls, and you invite us to come to you. Help us to encounter you, the living God, who promises an easy yoke for us. Help us as people to surrender, to give up that control, to receive from you the easy yoke. In your name I pray, amen.